I get to the word tonight. Okay, last week I preached on the last words. This week I'm going to preach on the first words. So the last was first, and now the first shall be last. That sounds familiar. Anyway, first words. You know, when you think about the first words, you often think about babies. Like when you're a little kid, what were your first words? Do you know your first words? No? Usually it's mama. Mama or dada, da 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 da, ba mama or ba ba ba. It's pretty easy stuff. I always remember I don't remember my first words, but my mum used to always tell me my first words, and it kind of was intriguing to me. My first words, apparently, were goya goya and begeggle begeggle. I never forget it, because they're so unusual. Anyway, whatever, I'm unusual. Doesn't matter. Well, I'm unique. We're all unique, okay? So if you just said baba, dada, mama, whatever, you're still unique. So they're the most common first words, but obviously I'm not going to focus on that tonight, but I want to talk about, go through a few examples of first words that were spoken by God in the Bible. Now, these are the first recorded words that he spoke to certain people or certain things, okay? They're not necessarily the first words that he spoke to them, because God has spoken things to us in our hearts. You know, we probably don't remember the first words God ever spoke to us, but we do remember the first time we actually responded to him, and we remembered, okay? So I want to go through some of the written records from the Bible of some of the first words that God spoke. Okay, now the first is in creation. First verse, Genesis 1:1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. Okay, that's a good time to speak to something. Sometimes our lives are like that. You know, they're formless, they have no direction, they're void, they're empty, there's darkness. Guess what? You need God to speak. And so that's exactly what he did. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The Holy Spirit was present. Father was present. And Jesus, the Word, was there, of course. And it says, then God said, let there be light. And there was light. Okay? So there was void, emptiness, darkness, and then God spoke. His first recorded words that we have is, let there be light. And, you know, even in the world sometimes you hear people jokingly say, let there be light, and they just turn on a switch or something as a joke. But they don't realize that they're the first words that God actually spoke. And he spoke those words at the very beginning. It says, in the beginning. Okay, and so we know that God began by speaking, and then he created over the next 6 days. I didn't get right into this because it would have gone on too long, but on the fifth day, God created the fish, or all the creatures in the waters, in the oceans and the waters, and he created all the birds, okay, that fly or on the ground. He created all the sea creatures and the air creatures, the water creatures and the air creatures. And he said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Interesting. The first time he said be fruitful and multiply was to the fish and the animals that were in the ocean and in the sky. Be fruitful and multiply. And the next day when he created all the other animals that are on the land and the creeping things and the creepy things, he didn't tell them to be fruitful and multiply. Interesting. I just think it's interesting. Anyway, so he created. And then God spoke to himself. This is what he said. He said, he didn't say, hey, self. He said, let us make man in our image. So here's the first time that you see the picture of the triune God, the Trinity, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in one. God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. And so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now that's pretty clear, okay? Male and female, God created. And he said, I'm going to do it. And he did it. And then he blessed them. And he said to them, be fruitful and multiply. So he spoke it to them as well. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion. This is to Adam and Eve, of course, first man and woman. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So he told them to be fruitful and multiply, just like he told the other creatures. But this part of his creation is different. He says, you rule over, you have authority and dominion over the rest of creation. Okay? And of course, they didn't. They didn't. His next command was, don't eat of that one tree. And of course, we know that they did. And sin entered in to mankind. And so, how did it enter in? They were disobedient. And that disobedience continued for the next 10 generations. There was actually 1,656 years from Adam to Noah. And Noah was a righteous man. It says Noah was a righteous man. He followed God. But God said this to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them from the earth. Make yourself an ark. Now, as God is saying, these are the first words that God speaks to Noah. Pretty strong words. He's basically saying to Noah, I've had enough. I've had enough of these people. They are so violent, so disobedient. The place is a mess. Okay? This is not what I created it for. It's filled with violence through them. You know, nothing's changed. Look what happened yesterday over in Sydney. And behold, I will destroy them from the earth. He's saying, I will destroy them. So he's making a separation from them and you. But he's basically saying to Noah, make yourself an ark. What is an ark? He had no idea what he was talking about. But then he got into detail. Basically, an ark was going to be the vessel of rescue for the Lord to get Noah out of this situation and to renew all things, okay? So the first words that Noah heard were quite drastic, but I mean, God was basically saying, I'm disappointed with these people, but Noah probably was too, because he was a godly man and he obeyed the Lord. The Lord then gave all these very detailed instructions of how to build this boat, this ark of salvation, this ark of deliverance for Noah and for his family. So, you know, sometimes God's first words come when instruction is needed. You know, God speaks to us all in different ways. And here his words came with instruction. This is what I want you to do. Sometimes God's word comes with direction. So we're coming down through the generations here from Noah. Obviously the flood came and, you know, the new generation started off. And then we came to the patriarchs or the fathers. The first one was Abraham. And when God spoke to him, it was very dramatic as well. Abraham was, or was Abram at the time, he was in a place where there must have been a longing in his heart for God. There must have been a longing because God knows what's going on in the inside. And so he would have been longing for the Lord, longing for something different. He was surrounded by idolatry. He was surrounded by immorality. And he didn't know there was a way out. And then God reveals himself. And this is what he does. He says, the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you." So the first words that Abram got, recorded words that Abram got, was, "Leave this place, get out of here, off you go, leave this all behind, and I'll take you somewhere." He didn't say where. He just said, "I want you to go." And then he said this, he promised as well. He didn't just give that direction, he made a promise. He said, "I will make you a great nation." Here he is, an individual, not knowing where to go, what to do, just feeling surrounded. And then the next, God is speaking to him, saying, "I'll make you a great nation." What? "I will bless you." He may not have been feeling very blessed, but God says, "I'll bless you. I'll make your name great." He was just someone in a large family. But God says, "I'm going to make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I'll curse him who curses you." They're very powerful words. You know, if you feel like just not, he was an ordinary person like the rest of us. But when God speaks into your life, things illuminate, things enlarge, things magnify. Okay? When God speaks, things change. And of course, he got up and he left. And things began to open up for him. And of course, he became a great nation, became a great father of the faith. It was accounted to him for righteousness. You know? His name's great. He was a blessing. He is blessed. And out of him came the other the nations. Out of him came Jacob and Isaac. All these wonderful fathers of the faith. So what happened with Jacob? Well, when Jacob was on the run from his brother Esau, God spoke to him too. He spoke to him in a dream. He was lying out in a deserted place with his head on a rock. And God spoke to him, and he reiterated this. He said, "I'm going to bless you because of Abraham, your father, your grandfather, basically. I'm going to bless you because of him. I'm going to give you this land that you're sleeping on." You know, he needed encouragement at that time. He was on the run. He was under pressure. And sometimes we need the word of the Lord to come to us when we are under pressure, just to lift it up. God said, "I'm going to keep my promise. I'm going to keep my promise. Things don't look too good right now, but I'm going to keep my promise because I'm a promise keeper." So, you know, the Lord spoke to Abraham, he spoke to Jacob, he spoke to Isaac, he spoke to so many people in the Old Testament. We can read over and over what the Lord said to them. And then, of course, Moses. I'm just picking out some of the great leaders, people who just were ordinary but became great because the word of the Lord came to them and they followed. Okay, what about Moses? Moses has thought he's done the right thing, killed an Egyptian, and then he's been on the run for 40 years. Okay, he's out in the back desert with his father-in-law now. He's probably thinking things are over for him. But God called to him. Sometimes when you think things are over, it's just about to begin. God called to him from the midst of the bush, the burning bush. And he said, "Moses, Moses." It's good when God calls you by your name, mostly. You know, sometimes when your parents call you by your name twice, you're in trouble. But he was getting his attention. "Moses, huh? Moses, oh." And he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not draw near this place." Like, hang on, don't come any closer. "Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." Now, this is no ordinary encounter. There's a bush that's on fire that's actually not burning. It's burning, but it's not burning up. Then the voice of the Lord comes out, speaks to him, and he says, "Here I am." Like, oh, okay. And he's like, no, don't come any closer. This is holy ground. Like, whoa. This is God. And the Lord spoke to him, and then he says this, "I had surely seen the oppression of my people," who are in Egypt. So it wasn't all about Moses. It was about the heart of God for his people. He said, I've seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Wow, what a comforting word. You know, Moses might have thought he was in trouble, but he wasn't. It's like, wow, this is all about the people who are still captive in Egypt. And Moses' heart was for them, but he was so far away. He hadn't seen them for 40 years. But that was his heart, to deliver them. That's why he was in trouble, because he was killing one of the Egyptians who was oppressing his people. But God says, I've seen it, I've heard, and I know. I know what they're going through. And then he says this, so I've come down. I've come down from heaven. I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up. I've come down to bring them up. That's what he does for us. He came down to bring us up. How awesome. To bring them up from that land to a good and large land. Like they're restricted. They're slaves. They're in bondage. They've got hard taskmasters. He said, I'm going to bring them out of that into a good place, to a large place, a land flowing with milk and honey. They lack so much right now. Things have been withheld from them. But I'm going to release abundance. I'm going to release my goodness to them, my provision to them. It's going to be good. It's been bad for hundreds of years for them, but now they've finally called on the name of the Lord, and he is answering them. So sometimes when you least expect it, like Moses was least expecting God to speak to him in this place. You know, sometimes we think, oh, if I go to church, God will speak to me there. Well, he probably will, but he can also speak to you on the bus. He can also speak to you on the train or in the supermarket or when you're driving or when you're walking the dog. He can speak to you wherever you are. And so when you least expect it, sometimes that word might come. That word might come to you. He said, I've seen, I've heard, I'm concerned, I care, I've come to rescue. Not only that, he said, come now therefore. So he's taken the focus off the people. And he said, okay, come on, I'm going to send you. Oh, what? I'm going to send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And of course, verse 11 is about Moses saying, oh, what? I can't do that. And God says, I will certainly be with you. I'll be with you. I'll help you. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. It's going to work. It's going to happen because I said it's going to happen. So when God speaks something, it might be very, you may not be expecting it, but he will confirm it. Okay? His promises are yea and amen. So mostly God spoke to ordinary people who did extraordinary things. So you know what? You're sitting there thinking, oh, I'm just ordinary. But when God speaks to you, something extraordinary can happen to you, for you, and through you. I just want to go to a couple more verses. In the New Testament, when the first words came to Saul, who became Paul, okay? Saul thought he was doing God a favor. He thought he was one of God's champions. And he was coming against the new believers. He was coming against the church. He was persecuting them, he was imprisoning them, and he was giving them a very hard time. And he was heading towards Damascus with a letter, and he was going to imprison the men and women there, the believers. But it says, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. Interesting, because Damascus was in the news the other day when Israel made that hit on the Iranian military guys. It was Damascus. Interesting. Suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. So he's on a journey. He's on a mission for God, he thinks. But a light shone from heaven, and then he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you persecuting me? Saul thought he was on a wonderful mission for God. And yet now this voice comes from heaven. And he said, who are you, Lord? He knew it was the voice of the Lord. He knew it was the Lord. And the Lord said to him, I'm Jesus. He didn't say, I'm God Almighty. I'm Yahweh. I'm Father God. He said, I'm Jesus. I'm the Messiah. I have come. The one that you didn't believe in? It's me. I'm back in heaven. And I'm speaking to you. I am Jesus who you're persecuting. When you come against the people of God, you come in against me. That's what he was saying. I am Jesus who you're persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goads. Now, what's that mean? You can't come against me and win. You can't. It's not going to work. It's not going to prevail. And so Saul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? He realized this was the voice of God. Jesus was speaking to him. And his life totally changed from then. You know, sometimes when we think we're so right, and yet we can be so off track, the voice of the Lord comes. The first time that the Lord spoke to Saul, he was saying, you are so far off track. But deep in the heart of Saul was a desire to be on track. He was just deceived at the time. And God brought him back. The word of the Lord came to him. This was the first time that God spoke to him, and it was a rebuke. But it set him on the right path, and it made him one of the greatest writers of the New Testament. You know, here's an inspiration, the great Apostle Paul. Okay, so all of these are wonderful, timely, and important. All these first words of God to these people. But probably some of the most important was what he spoke to Peter, because the first and the last words that he spoke to Peter can relate to us. Okay, so what were those words? Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. In other words, follow me, and I will make you fruitful, and you'll multiply. Fruitful and multiply doesn't always mean just having children. It means having spiritual children as much as anything. Being fruitful means following God and obeying what he tells you to do. And as you do that, there will be multiplication, okay? He said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You won't just catch fish, you'll catch men. There'll be fruitfulness, and there'll be a multiplying of people coming into the kingdom. These were the first things that he said to Peter, follow me. The last thing is in the book of John. This is after Jesus is resurrected, and he's about to go back to heaven. And Peter is saying to Jesus, he said about John. He's talking about John. Peter, seeing John, said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? In other words, what's going to happen with John? John was the youngest of the disciples, apparently. And Peter's saying, well, what about him? What's going to happen to him? Jesus said to him, to Peter, if I will, in other words, if it's in my will, that he remain till I come back. What's that to you? In other words, sorry, Peter, it's none of your business. Sticky beak. It's none of your business. What happens with John? You follow me. Don't worry about John, what's going on to him, or anyone else. You follow me. First words to him and last words to him that are recorded. And you know what? If we live our lives based only on that, then we will do well. Follow him. Just follow him. Don't worry about everyone else. Don't look at them. Don't wonder what's going on. Just follow him. And we will be fruitful and we will bring multiplication for the Lord, for the kingdom. Amen. Father, we just thank you. Lord, we thank you for your word, that as we follow you, we can lead others. As we follow you, there will be fruit that remains. Lord, it's very clear and very simple. Lord, when you spoke to people, it was always with clear intent. When things were void and when things were empty, when things were dark, and your word came, the light came. When people needed direction or instruction, when we need direction or instruction, when we're under pressure, sometimes when we least expect it, Lord, you will speak to us. Thank you, Lord, when we're off track, especially, Lord, if we wander, if we get off track, we get distracted with this or that. Lord, speak to us. Let the word come from heaven and bring us back. Bring us back to the heart of worship, back on track. Lord, we thank you. So many times you spoke to so many people, but Lord, sometimes it's your first words that had the greatest impact. But for Peter, it was the first and the last. Let those words be our first and our last, to follow you all the days of our lives. We thank you for it, Lord. Give us ears to hear what you're saying to us. Give us ears to hear. And let us be quick to respond. Like Abram, who left his country. Like Moses, who faced the challenge. Like Saul, who said, what do I need to do? Like Peter, who left the business and followed you, became a fisher of men. Lord, let us be like these great saints, just ordinary people who did extraordinary things because of you. Thank you, my God. Bless each and every one, Lord. Bless them, bless their families. Lord, bless their health, bless their finances, bless the work of their hands, bless their studies, whatever they may be doing. Bless each one in their lives. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, if anyone wants prayer, I want to pray with you. Otherwise, have an awesome week.